Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, we look at the geopolitics behind Europe's immigration crisis.
The global economy is conducive to better immigration policy. Unfortunately, the geopolitics are extremely non-conducive to good immigration policy.
Ian Bremmer is the president and founder of the global political risk research and consulting firm Eurasia Group. Bremmer joined a panel discussion about conflicts and the refugee crisis at the IMF World Bank spring meetings in April. I sat down with him at his office in Washington shortly after the meetings and asked him if the so-called Arab Spring is to blame for Europe's current refugee crisis.
Well, I mean, the Arab Spring is one piece of it. I think if you ask me why the Middle East is falling apart and therefore creating all of these refugees, I think that there are three components to it, one of which is very linked to the Arab Spring. That one is that populations are becoming much more interested and capable in expressing their dissatisfaction with poor governance in their region. And there's no question the Arab Spring was a big part of that. And the Arab Spring's failure was a strong government reaction to that, with the exception, to a degree, in Tunisia. And that's led to a lot more instability and a lot more people that want to get the hell out. But there are two other things that are leading people to want to get the hell out. One is that you used to have an environment where the United States and allies were interested in spending an awful lot of political capital and investing a lot of security into stability in the region. And for many reasons, that's now going away. And you also had an environment where it was very easy for countries in the region to get a lot of cash out of the ground because energy prices were consistently much higher. And that's going away. And I don't think it's coming back anytime soon. And so when you put those three things together, it's a little overdetermined. I mean, the Middle East has fallen apart very quickly, and that's creating failed states in Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Libya and Mali and Afghanistan, if you want to talk more broadly. And it's creating a refugee crisis, which is unprecedented in its scope since World War II. So I think that the explanation for all of this really comes from all three of those variables.
So at the same time of this instability, it seems that people are rebelling against globalization. They're questioning the benefits of globalization. And why do you think countries are looking to close their borders at a time when it seems the solution to the immigration crisis anyway is to open their borders?
Well, I think that globalization has benefited two large parts of the world's population. First, the very wealthy, who have seen their fortunes grow tremendously from the greater efficiency of capital and trade and knowledge flows that's been facilitated by borders getting much more transparent and porous. And also, we've seen the emergence of a true global middle class. That sort of two-hump phenomenon, which most significantly is the rise of hundreds of millions in China who have gotten themselves out of extreme poverty in extraordinary and unprecedented fashion in the last 35 years. But you could also talk about that for the BRICS across the board, in the emerging market space, countries like Turkey and the rest. But although that has led to a lot of global growth, it has not been costless. There have been losers. And one significant group of losers has been the wealthy people who comprise the middle classes and former middle classes of the advanced industrial economies. Now, that could have been mitigated by far-thinking policy to help ensure that they reaped some of the benefits of all of this trade when labor from the emerging markets was supplanting them. But that wasn't the case, and that's why you now have growing inequality. And it's also why you see growing populism. I'm someone who personally thinks that the benefits of global trade agreements are very significant. But I also understand that if I were in this group of, you know, solidly middle class, not advanced education, and had seen my wages stay flat and stagnant while this was going on over the past generation, didn't see opportunities for my kids, I'd have very good reasons to also want the borders to come up. Now, what hasn't happened is you haven't seen that same level of protectionism in impulse and sentiment come from the emerging markets because they have largely benefited here. Now, that may change. And I think it'll be very interesting to see that as technology becomes the driver of disenfranchisement of the global emerging market middle class workforce, the true middle class, who suddenly we see that they'd been gaining immensely from jobs that they're more efficient at doing, both in advanced manufacturing as well as in the service sectors. If suddenly that becomes automated, that will mean more capital flows to the wealthy, but it'll also mean that these big group of winners will suddenly become losers. And the danger in the next 10 years is that you'll see an incredible increase in the political support for protectionism and for much stronger borders and a fragmentation of the global economy and the global security environment precisely from the world's emerging markets.
People are also speaking about a demographic dividend that could very well pay off for European countries in this immigration crisis. How do you think that might play out? You know, what would it take for European host countries to sort of come out on top, let's say, 20 years from now?
Well, look, I do believe that right now there would be a demographic dividend for a country like Germany to take more workers into their economy. And there'd be two types of dividends. One would be from the initial stimulus effect of having the government put $14,000 a year, spend housing and all the rest in the hands of all of these refugees who are not going to save that money. They're going to spend it. They're going to consume it. It's going to go right back into the German economy. That's obvious. And you'd see that in other countries in Europe as well. And the second point is, as of right now, many of these countries, not all, not Greece, for example, but many of these countries do need great labor. Even if we're talking about a community that is very mixed in terms of their educational capability and what kind of jobs that they would be able to fulfill, that still would be a net positive for these economies. So there would be a demographic dividend. Now, whether that would be true in 10 years' time, depending on what happens with technology and what kind of jobs are needed, I think that's a very open question. So there is, I think, longer term, the issue of how economically useful it is to have a larger population is very much something that needs more study. But what I will tell you is that if you look at the response to refugees right now, while you can make a very clear argument that economically you should be letting more in for these countries, you can't make that argument socially or culturally because the populations do not wish to integrate them into the societies at large. In fact, most of them are willing to take on additional economic hardship if it means that their country can feel more homogeneous. You do not see political dividends for the leaders in taking leadership on these issues. In fact, populism across Europe in pretty much every country in the European Union moves exactly in the opposite direction. So there are benefits to be seen as much harder line towards immigrants. And there's also, unfortunately, a security aspect to all of this. And yes, it's completely wrong to try to conflate terrorism with refugee populations, but does not mean that it's not politically salient. And so as a consequence, whether you're talking about Brexit or whether you're talking about Schengen, the willingness of political leaders to use security as an argument to facilitate what would already be a popular decision to keep the refugees out, I think that's very significant indeed. So when you put all these things together, unfortunately, from the IMF's perspective, the economics are not going to drive the outcomes here.
So are you saying that the state of the global economy right now is not conducive to good immigration policy, perhaps?
The global economy is conducive to better immigration policy. Unfortunately, the geopolitics are extremely non-conducive to good immigration policy. The world security environment, the geosecurity environment, is very non-conducive. The fact that you have the world's most powerful terrorist organization, that's not conducive to good immigration policy. The fact that you have a G0 geopolitically, that European leadership is weak and America is not interested in being the global policeman. America is not interested in being the cheerleader for global values the way it has been for many decades. Indispensable America is, you know, sort of receding rapidly in our rearview mirror. These things are not conducive and are becoming more important in swaying the policy outcomes on immigration and why we're not seeing compromise, why it's not imaginable that we have passed the peak of this crisis and why the responses are going to be fragmented at the national level and will ultimately redound poorly to the global economy.
Is immigration, do you think, the biggest problem that Europe has, or is there something else brewing that you think should be on the radar?
The refugee crisis is the most compelling proximate crisis that the Europeans are dealing with. And the reason for that is because it's fundamentally a political crisis. Grexit was an economic crisis. The Eurozone crisis was a financial crisis. And as long as you had political will, you could effectively resolve that. I mean, when you have the central bank, the ECB, governor saying, we will do whatever it takes to get through this, you know, ultimately the hedge funds have to listen because the political will is there. Well, I mean, the refugee crisis is a political crisis, and then it shows a lack of political will to resolve. And that is a much more structural danger to the future of both the Eurozone and the European Union. And it's going to have much longer term negative implications than the economic and financial crises. And while there are many reasons why there is a lack of political unity in Europe, certainly the refugee crisis is the largest and most proximate cause of that.
That was Ian Bremmer, president and founder of Eurasia Group. You can watch the webcast of the IMF World Bank Spring Meeting seminar entitled Conflicts and the Refugee Crisis, an International Call for Action at imf.org. You can also hear more podcasts like this one on SoundCloud or iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.